A few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, the deacon, server, and I will go to the statue of St. Faustina for our weekly Divine Mercy Chaplet for our beloved dead. I do encourage you to please stay if you're able and join us in those prayers. We ask that you remain in your pews. After the chaplet, I'll be in the confessional. Confessions will be available until the last penitent. So if you're in need of the sacrament, I do encourage you to go to confession today. Reminder that today at 2:30, we have the next session of our course on our spiritual theology, Glory Unto Glory. If you're able to tune in live at 2:30, great. If not, it's recorded and available on our Grace Daily page. Of course, we have our daily briefing at 4 o'clock, so please be attentive to that in terms of some updates. And as a reminder, tomorrow and Thursday, we do not have confessions or daily mass here at the parish, because I get to go under the knife. Huh? Watch out. Sounds so grave. Actually, it's very minor outpatient surgery, just enough to be annoying. So there's no mass or confessions tomorrow or Thursday, but we still have the rosary at 11:30. Tomorrow, adoration will still happen from 12:30 to 2:30. It's our last Wednesday at 2:30, and then it goes to 2:15, but tomorrow's still 2:30. And then Thursday, we still have the peregrine novena at 12:30. Isn't it wonderful that even when we can't have mass, here at Our Lady of Grace, we still have opportunities for the spiritual life. The Mass is the summit and source, the most important thing we do, but it's the summit and source of a lot of other things. Those other things are very important. So I ask that you participate in the rosary or the novena or adoration, continue to work on your spiritual life, even when we can't have Mass. Lastly, a reminder, Saturday, Father Gann's with us, the Marine, right? He's looking very forward. He said he's going to come a little early. He will be available for confessions Saturday afternoon. And then, of course, he will be celebrating the 4 and the 5:30 Mass. And then I'm back with you all on Sunday morning. Isn't that fun? So just a quick review of our schedule so no one is caught off guard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So when I was discerning the priesthood, and it went back and forth, because I had finished graduate school in philosophy, and was pretty much cleared and ready to begin law school, I had to make a decision. Was I going to pursue a career in law? I wanted to pursue human rights, try to make the world a better place. Or was I going to pursue this call to the priesthood? And the call kept sitting on my heart. So I said yes. Well, then once I said yes, there's all kinds of questions that follow after that. Do I feel called to diocesan priesthood? To be a parish priest? Or do I feel called to a religious order? And I was very much attracted to the religious orders, especially those of the academic bent. I thought this would be great, I can continue to do academic work. I was attracted to that, but I didn't feel called to it. In fact, the more that I thought about Father Kelly, who's the Catholic chaplain on Fort Jackson, or Monsignor Roland, the pastor of St. Joseph, who have been the pastor all through middle school and high school and through college, the more I thought of these parish priests, these pastors, that was very much what I felt called to be. So I said yes, a double yes, to the priesthood and to be a parish priest, a pastor. So then all that work, all that seminary study led to the summer of 2007 when I was ordained a priest, thanks be to God. And then after that, sent up to the upstate to be a circuit rider to Clemson, Seneca, and Walhalla. That was the first couple of months of my priesthood. That was not easy. Then I got sent to Aiken for 2 years to be a parochial vicar. I was taught basically the ins and outs of being a pastor by Father Jim LeBlanc. Then I went back to Rome as a student priest. Then I came back and I was on the bishop's staff in charge of vocations for 6 years, right? On top of being the scout chaplain, the chaplain of two high schools, temporary administrator of Martin de Porres in Colombia, and everything else they can throw at me, right? Then I finished that. Then I was a temporary administrator back in Aiken while the pastor was taking a few months sabbatical. And then I was sent back to Rome to finish more studies. Then I came back and I was an assistant priest at St. Michael's in Garden City in the Myrtle Beach area. And then I received finally what I had said yes to so many years before. I was finally given my first assignment to be the priest, the parish priest, the pastor. And that was 2016. And that's when I received my appointment here to Our Lady of Grace. Now, the interesting thing is, in the summer of 2007, that's when a parishioner, during a parish picnic, the parish of St. Philip Neri approached the pastor of Philip Neri and said, "Why don't we have a parish in Indian land?" That was the same summer, 2007. And that eventually led to the first mass in February 2008. It was at Bel Air Methodist Church, Catholic mass offered at a Methodist church. Bel Air is the one right across from Food Lion on 521. It's behind a new car wash. That's where we had our first mass in Indian land. We've quickly outgrew that. And then we were at the school for a little while. And then the community eventually moved to the rec center, and that was home for a long time. And then we had the mission house. That's the rectory now, that's my house. Right? And that was the mission house. That was the base of operations, the first building on our current property. That was basically was a makeshift parish office. Daily mass was offered there periodically. That's where everything was held in order for there to be some identity on this campus. And then eventually, in 2016, after over 8 years of hard work, faith, sacrifice, and tenacity, this building was consecrated by Bishop Guillaumone, August 15th, 2016. So in many respects, as I attempt to understand the ways of divine providence in my own life so as to be more faithful to it, it seems as if my priestly ministry and the growth of Our Lady of Grace have complemented one another. And there was this beautiful crescendo in 2016 when I was appointed here. It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago. Look at how much we've done in 4 years. I remember September 1st, 2016, I was leaving Myrtle Beach because the pastor insisted I stay till the very last day. Right? I had to hop in my car and head here. We had daily mass. It wasn't at noon. It was a different time. And I was trying to get here, but I got stuck in the beach traffic. And I had to do something very humbling for a pastor. I had to call the dean. That's the senior priest of this area. It's Father Fabio. And I had to call Father Fabio and say, "I'm not going to make mass on my first day in my new parish," right? And some of you might recall, because some of you were at that mass, Father Fabio had to drive over and offer the first mass on September 1st. I arrived halfway through mass and I sat in the back there. And at the end of mass, Father Fabio said, "Well, I'd like to introduce you to your new pastor." You know? And from there, it's been a beautiful story, a narrative of faith and sacrifice. Today in the gospel, we are reminded of the power that comes with the words of the Lord. We are reminded by that in our first reading. The first responsibility that a priest has is to preach the gospel. Sometimes Catholics are caught off guard by that. They say, no, your first responsibility is to offer the mass. No. Well, the church teaches the first responsibility of the priest is to faithfully, boldly, and with conviction preach the gospel. And secondly, to celebrate the mysteries of faith. As the fathers of our faith say, the preaching is the throwing out of the net to find the good fish. And the Eucharist is bringing them in to encounter God. That first responsibility is one I take very seriously. It complements that academic bent I had early in my discernment. I am very much convicted that preaching must be bold, faithful, and provocative. St. Paul tells us, as even the deacon reminded us from St. Paul's reading yesterday, of the tenacity that should be a part of preaching, that the fruit of preaching is conviction. If you leave after hearing the gospel preached and all you have are warm fuzzies or encouragements to be a Pollyanna, you did not have the gospel preached to you. You could just as well have listened to some show or some motivational speaker. The point of the gospel is you should leave when the gospel is preached, saying in your heart, "I need to do more. I need to go deeper. I need to take this more seriously." The purpose of apostolic preaching, it's a gift of the Spirit. The gift of apostolic preaching is to provoke conviction among the baptized. That's my principal responsibility here. It's my first task given to me by the Bishop of Charleston. Secondly, is to worthily celebrate the Eucharist and the sacraments, to make them accessible and easy to approach, and to celebrate them according to the mind of the church. It means I'm not allowed to get creative. I'm not allowed to change things or words. I'm not allowed just to adjust because I think this might be a good idea. This might help my community. My purpose, my goal is to help this community understand that we are part of the entire universal church. Wasn't that hard about a year ago when I had to announce that we shouldn't have been raising our hands for the Lord's Prayer or holding hands? A lot of people struggled with that. But as I explained then, our purpose is to match all of our gestures and all of our responses with those of the responses and the gestures of the entire church. We are more united to one another by following the same gestures with the entire church than by changing those gestures just for our own community. That's just one example of the responsibility of the priest. I'd like to stress that whenever a priest is appointed to a community, he is sent there. I didn't choose to live in Indian land. Truth be told, I probably wouldn't have chosen to come to Indian land. But that doesn't matter because I was sent here by the Holy Spirit through the ministry of our bishop. I am here as a man on a mission. My task, and will be my task until the day I die, will be to get myself in heaven and please God as many of you as possible. That's my only task. If you hate me, dislike me, don't like my personality, sometimes I don't even like my personality, okay? That's not the point. Just as the point is not if you like or dislike each other. Our faith and the apostolic mission given to all of us as baptized, and to me as the pastor, is not that we like each other. It's that we work together, build up the kingdom, and please God, get to heaven. That's the task. So dear Team Grace, it's been 4 years. Isn't that amazing? 4 years. And I look for another 4, another 8, another 12, 16. I hope the bishop just forgets about me. And I can be here. I was sharing with one parishioner, once we get that new columbarium done, I'll be one of the ones to get an itch. Because it's my hope to be here until it's all over. And please God, I'll be resting at that columbarium with so many of you. So dear friends, our task is to take the mission seriously, do our best, play our part, be as faithful and as bold as possible.